Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see.
Wow.
Oh, and look over there.
Wow, is that Ooh. Culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong. Las Culturistas calling.
And at this point, I want to run this by Bowen. We've all been recording, us and our guests have all been recording, and we've had an amazing conversation so far that hasn't been on the pod. Don't you agree,
yeah.
Bo? And so I think that we should go back, and you can listen now to the conversation that we've been having.
I don't know. What's happening?
I want to play the conversation that we all just had together now.
Oh, but see, no, here's the thing. I stopped my recording and
oh,
I restarted.
No. Bowen Yang.
Oh, damn.
Why you did that?
We got to restart now.
No,
don't we?
No, we don't. Let's restart.
Oh, Anna has it.
Okay, Ohan says, Anna has the recording. We don't have to start.
Okay, we're gonna play this little beat of conversation now.
Hi, Doug.
I have one more question.
Doug,
does George have a pop filter?
I don't. I'm sorry.
Okay, great. You might want to move just slightly back from it. I can. It's get. Yeah, there you go. Thank
you.
Or you
can push the mic forward too.
Oh, okay, sure. I can do that. Is this better? Slightly.
It's hard to tell until you get going, but. It'll
Until
work.
You get
It'll plosive. Be better. Thank you.
I was actually very passive aggressively sent a pop filter. Didn't know it was coming, and all of a sudden it arrived, and I realized what was being said about me behind my back was that I needed a pop filter.
This industry is so cruel.
It's very cruel, and there's a lot of straight men that we work with sending gay men pop filters, and it's a microaggression. It says be silent. It says, you know what I mean? It says,
yeah,
it says don't
yes.
pop, you know?
It says, oh, try saying an S.
Yeah.
It's saying your lisp is in the way.
Sounds a little lispy
it
there.
It says, you know what? Your P's and B's, which is a little coded, are popping. And I said, you damn right. My P's and B's pop.
I'll save it for the pod. This is gold.
I don't. My P's and B's be popping. They see me after school.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. Little mama.
I love and that track. For some reason, that track was always too loud on my iTunes. And when it came on, it would just like be like...
The mixing.
If only they had a pop filter.
We're going to do something revolutionary with the pod.
Okay, so that was our conversation.
That was our amazing conversation with our guests.
This is historic. Yeah, this is fun, though. I like that we haven't done this before.
Yeah, and it's also like, I thought that what we were talking about was so interesting, which was the song Little Mama and Avril Lavigne.
You mean the Girlfriend remix.
Yeah, that's what yes. I meant. But I also think that it's fun to say it's the song Lil Mama and Avril Lavigne. Which, what a moment in culture.
Lil Mama, I mean, things just fully stopped with her when she like stormed the stage at the VMAs that one year, remember?
Yeah. Well, they stopped.
2009.
That was like, I think, the last moment where it was permissible to be Lil Mama in public. But before that,
God.
Never forget when she was like, you always cease to amaze
me. Cease to amaze me. Yeah. You guys are so amazing. You always cease to amaze me.
You always cease to amaze me. Which
Incredible
is
judging.
Truly iconic.
America's yes. Next Best Dance Crew. Lil Mama was mm-hmm. the judge.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, I think she was really important to the culture. We were all talking about, as you just heard, how the song Lil Mama and Avril Lavigne is, the mix on it is insane. Oh, no, I'm sorry. On Lip Gloss is insane.
Oh,
there
Lip Gloss is amazing. And you know what? Actually, Lil Mama is a moment of culture and she didn't make the list. We may have to do another list.
We may have to do another list. Matt, first I want to check in with you. How are you dealing with fame?
How am I dealing with fame? It's been a lot. You know, I'm very famous now. And now that Hot Dog is out, I'm famous. I'm on the A-list. Blake Lively is texting me, which is my first. That's exactly the first place my brain went.
A-list.
Okay, you're famous. What happens to you? Blake Lively texts you.
Probably texts you. Yeah.
No, it's. I'm super excited about the show being out. I think it looks really cute. I think it's super
so
fun.
Wonderful. It's so great. I'm so.
You like it?
I love it so much. It's made me so happy. I've rewatched the episodes.
Thank you for doing that.
I love the sort of Trojan horsing of Gru into the show.
Did you notice that I was very myself on the show?
Yes, and we love that. And you say that in a way that is.
Well,
a
can I say something
vulnerable.
That's weird?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I've really never seen like myself in like a long form on screen, like being myself. And so watching myself, it was sort of like meeting a stranger that I knew. Does that make sense? It's like, yeah. I don't know that person at all. And I wonder if I encountered that person, what I would feel like and what I would say or do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I understand that that is me. It's weird to see yourself on.
You're being played. You're literally being played back like a condensed, edited version of yourself. And yeah. You're like, oh, this is me. Yeah.
And that's, you know, something that you've been dealing with for some time. Although oftentimes when you're on screen, you're wearing sort of a fun wig or, you know, like a Saturday Night Live style costume.
Yes. Yes. And yet I still think that's not me.
Yeah. Well, that's because you do an amazing performance.
That's true. That's very true. You get me. And Jester, you got me good. Jester, you know, you have done
for
it.
For you,
again.
Literally, Jester, you have done it again and again and again. And every Jester, time you're doing an amazing sketch, you're doing it again, Jester.
Jester, you know? I don't anticipate being in these shows whatsoever. We'll see.
Why you say this? Why you feel this way?
I feel this way because it's, you know, it's gonna be a shorter show. Mm-hmm. And there's just not as much real estate. And there's more and it's the biggest cast we've ever had in the history of the show. And so
there's 400 people on the cast?
409. Giddy up, 409.
See, at that point, I think they should just have 410. You know what I mean?
No, Lauren likes the prime number.
Okay. It's that makes a lot number. Of sense.
It might be.
20?
20. This is one of our most beautiful traditions on the show, is where we have a little four top going.
Love a four top. Mm-hmm. Love a square.
Mm-hmm.
Love a sort of, you know, quadrant moment. Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. Sex in the City. And that's exactly what I was thinking.
This is Sex in the City.
Especially when I looked at one of the people that we have on the show, because famously, you know, this person, who we're not saying their name because they're the guest and we haven't revealed the guest, but one of them used to do Sex in the City live stagings with you, Bowen.
That's right. And we've talked about this every time he's been on the show. Yeah. Yes.
But you never, you know, sometimes like some new people are tuning in and you have to tell them history.
That's right. History. History has its eyes on us.
Mm-hmm.
And I am just so happy that these two boys are here. They're some of my...
Well, they host my favorite podcast.
They host my favorite podcast. You know, there's been a NymphoWars-sized vacuum hole in the podcast space. And I think they're...
Big hole.
They're not really meeting that occasion, but it's sort of cerebral on the same level as NymphoWars was on some level, wouldn't you say?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think they're as smart as them. No.
Okay.
No, okay. No. I don't. I actually don't tune in for the intelligence. I tune in for the laughs.
I tune in for the laughs. No, these two boys are very smart, very funny. I think above all else,
I would
funny.
Say above all else, number one, they are funny. Is number one. Second is they are white. Third is they are gay. Fourth is that they are so cute.
So cute.
So cute. In
so
fact,
cute.
You and I throughout the years have discussed with each other our crushes on the boys.
Oh my God, that's right. We have
little
charted
tickles.
Little tickles.
Little tickles.
Sam is... Oh, and he's wearing this neon Chromatica shirt that I just noticed, and he is...
He really is. He's doing the cut it out motion with his hands. But we're not gonna. We felt little tickles sometimes when it comes to these boys, and actually it's a front runner for title of EP. Little tickles.
Little tickles sometimes.
Little tickles sometimes.
Okay, so I think at this point we bring them in. They host the wonderful podcast Stradio Lab. Welcome into your ears. George Severus
and Sam Taggart.
Oh wow. My God.
Happy Hello. Christmas okay. to us.
Happy and to Christmas us a to good us. Night.
Okay. I have to say something, and I brought this up to Matt the other day. Mm-hmm. Matt, I think, has made this comparison. He goes, I think he Matt's like, oh, I'm the Sam and you're the George. And I was like, I actually think it's flipped where I'm the Sam and Matt's the George, because Matt and George both lead the conversation in some
ways. What are you doing right now? You're fired. You gotta go.
But I just think Sam and I are like really, we're kind of like the steady sort of rocks in the duo, and we're just sort of like, yeah, okay, that's interesting. And then George and Matt are the ones popping off, kind of connecting all the dots together, doing all of that.
Interesting.
I don't know. Sam, what do you think?
I mean, it's definitely a contrarian theory.
I would
but
say.
Not one that I disagree with. I see the connection there.
You think you're more down to earth than I am?
No, not down to earth. Like, just like, you know, what's... just
exactly, exactly, and huh. That's
like
what makes
you
me
step in and lead the conversation.
No. You see what happened right there, Sam? She got halfway through a thought and didn't know the rest of the words, which is me culture, and
no,
also
that's
not
me
for
culture.
Nothing. Everyone, one thing is that in every podcast duo, there's one that knows plays and knows books and one that doesn't know plays and books. And
but
Sam
I know
and
books,
I both
just not plays.
No, Sam you don't know books. You don't know books, Sam.
No, Sam knows books. Sam does know books.
That's ridiculous to say.
I publicly read Ursula Who? K. Le Guin.
Sam is an,
oh
was an English
God.
Major. I majored in STEM,
that's
like
right.
Carly Claus.
Oh my God.
I didn't even read a book until, you know, I was in my 20s.
That's false advertising.
I'm self-taught.
And no. I brought in this very like terrible conversational frame. It's not true. There's no like, you know, perfect alignment with this, but I'm just saying like, isn't it fun to think of each of the four of us as very multitudinous people?
Yeah, it's so fun to think about that, but I mean, I don't think that's the truth. I don't know that we have like that much going on.
The first
on.
Thing they told us when they, we've talked about this on the podcast, but we were part of a podcasting reality show and then we won and then we are in contract to produce 400 episodes of the podcast. Paula Abdul chose us. And one thing they said is if you contain multitudes, you have to pick one and one person has to have one multitude and the other person has to have the other and they need to be complementary.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Which is such a helpful note. I feel like we've grown so much. I mean, not too much because we don't want to gain more
facets.
No,
they said grow, you know, a pre-specified amount. And yeah. After each episode, they tell us that too much growth or not enough growth.
Yeah.
I guess one question that I have right away just to start off the podcast is, does Paula give you guys notes on every episode?
I think in this universe that we've created, she does give us notes. She emails us every single episode we release.
Well, she emails Sam because he's more, he's better with words. But then she sends me a video of her dancing.
Wow.
It's like she's doing a dance performance that conveys what her critiques are.
Yes.
She's producing both Hillary Clinton and Bethany Frankel's new podcasts.
Wow. Those, wow. I think, are going to be really similar, actually.
Do you know what I was I was looking at, I don't know why, I was looking at the podcast rankings, which are so depressing because it's literally like Joe Rogan, you know, Megyn Kelly. And I saw that the two high-profile podcasts that are about to premiere are Bethany and Hillary. And I thought, I wanted to make some kind of joke that was like, whoever wins, that means the election will go one way. And then I was like, wait. Which way would that mean? Which one of them is...
Yeah, that's interesting.
If you were to poll people, do you like Bethany or Hillary better? Which one of them is Trump and which one is Biden?
I think it is sort of an Alien versus Predator situation where it's no matter who wins, we lose.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's actually really important to say. And never forget that in the movie Alien versus Predator, Kelly Rowland gets murdered after she calls Freddy Krueger a faggot. So
I do want to say it is. I don't know if this. I'm not allowed to coin a rule of culture, but I do want to say just specifically for this year, I would say a rule of culture is no matter who wins, we lose.
Alien versus Predator. I think it's rule of culture number 71. This year
is
Alien
versus
Predator.
No matter who wins,
we lose.
That is a tough rule of culture, but you know, I think it can get some catchy.
Tough, but
it can be catchy.
It's officially in.
I mean, once we say it in unison, it's in.
It's sealed, darling.
Who was that young girl? Oh, it was, you know who it was? Martha. It was not Martha McSally. It was like, we will never change the Constitution. Someone was like, that's what an amendment is, you absolute craze.
craze.
Oh, I'm so tired of it. I hate it.
Me
like,
too.
When someone says something dumb and then someone smart is like, that's actually dumb. It's like, yeah, that's like their thing. Like,
but now I know
up.
that person said a dumb thing, you know?
Like, I don't care. They're dumb. They've been dumb.
Who's more dumb? The person saying dumb things or the person whose entire identity is pointing out that things are dumb?
Oh my God, both. Absolutely both. Hashtag both.
Hashtag.
Both hashtag.
Both hashtag.
I say hashtag after. I think it'll catch on.
Yeah, that sounds really smart. Innovative.
Wait, we're all such sisters.
I know.
We really are.
We really are.
On our podcast, I said something and I said, oh, and then my sisters did this. And then Sam was clearly so confused and said, you know, I'm so used to the new meaning of sisters that I think sisters should be called
the new meaning.
Girl brothers.
Yeah.
Because when I hear sisters, I think gay guys that I'm friends with that, you know, I'm on a text thread with perhaps. Like,
yes.
That's what
sisters.
Sister means to me.
And my sisters are not gay guys. They're straight women.
Yeah.
No. And it's really, I mean, yeah, you really don't know. The term is so nonspecific at this point.
Mm-hmm. It's like aloha.
It's like aloha. It's like aloha. Should we even be using it for anybody anymore? Right?
Right.
Does that make sense?
Well, we've sort of dreamed up something I think is better, which is Girl Brothers.
Girl Brothers.
Girl Brothers.
Which sounds like a problematic movie from the late 90s.
Right. Or from the, you know, mid-2000s.
Or from now.
Kind of, it sounds like White Chicks era. Mm-hmm.
Sorority Boys. Sorority
yes,
Boys.
Sorority Boys. Yes.
Right, right. It sounds like Sam's favorite movie. I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry.
Is that
famously.
Really your favorite movie, Euphorica?
Yes.
It's okay. It's not my favorite movie, yes. But I do think it's hot and I do want to watch them have sex with each other.
Because you think Kevin James is Kevin James your number one? Who's your number one?
Who's my number one?
Gay or straight?
Oh, James Gandolfini.
Hot.
But he's dead, so I don't know if that counts.
My God.
I really believe that for you because you love a big old bear. I know it.
Oh, my God. I mean, have you guys watched Sopranos? Like, when he holds a woman's head and his hands are, like, so big, I'm like, I want to be that woman.
Wow.
You know?
What's he doing to her head?
Just, like, holding her hair. And it's like, but his hands are gigantic on her little petite head.
Oh, it's romantic and sexual?
Yeah, it's hot.
Okay.
It's romantic and sexual?
Is it?
It's sexual in nature.
And sexual?
It's sexual in nature.
James Gandolfini has such an energy. I was recently watching, well, we were talking about how Lucy Liu was in God of Carnage and got terrible reviews. Yeah. And so then that led me down a path of, because James Gandolfini was in the original Broadway cast of God of Carnage, and it led me down a path of watching public TV interviews with the original cast.
Uh-huh. And they were all Gay.
Like, sorry?
Marcia Gay.
Marcia Gay,
Hope Davis.
Jeff Daniels.
Yes, good cast.
And James Gandolfini. And everyone else, you know, is trying, Marcia especially, God bless her, she's trying so hard to make very kind of intricate points. And then James Gandolfini will just, with a grunt, say so much more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he really was. That was a loss. That was sad.
Yeah.
Oh, no,
was
so
I actually
sad.
Watched them over, when I was visiting my mom, I watched Enough Said.
I was just going to ask, how was that?
Oh, it's great. I had already seen it and it was just as good the second time.
It's sad, right? I haven't seen it.
It's like, I would say it's bittersweet. I mean, it's like one of those romantic comedies that has a non-traditional narrative, but I mean, it is ultimately a romantic comedy and like, I think it has a lot of heart. I think it's one of Nicole Halofsen's.
No,
like,
I'm upset.
No, we're mad. We're mad.
We're mad.
We want traditional narratives only, queen.
I'm sorry, but if you're making a romantic comedy, aka rom-com,
Hello?
Can you keep it traditional?
Can it be
the breakup featuring Jennifer Aniston and Vince Vaughn found dead in a ditch?
Found absolutely dead. If a movie isn't Runaway Bride, I don't want to watch it. It's Rule of Cause number 102. If a movie
isn't Runaway
Bride, I
don't
want to
watch it.
When I watched the breakup starring Jennifer Aniston and Vince Vaughn when I was very young, probably, you know, two, I remember thinking this is so radical because like in the last scene they no longer are together and they, I think, like see each other on the street. And I was like, this is groundbreaking that this movie ended like this.
Well, they truly break up.
Yes, I mean, exactly.
They didn't call it the breakup for nothing.
I mean,
no, girl.
Honey.
No. They called it that because the movie sort of depicted a breakup between Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston. And actually, I also recently watched this movie. I don't know why, but it was on. And I think it was on after a Housewives, actually. And it takes them a long time to like get into the movie.
The breakup? Yeah. I mean, I truly haven't watched it since I was like 13, 14. But I remember, you know, when you're like first like
realizing you're gay.
I mean, this is the premise of this podcast. First realizing, not just
okay,
that, but realizing like
he's
I like
before.
Good things. Mm-hmm. It's like when you watch The Hours and you're like, oh my fucking God.
Uh-huh.
That I had a moment like that with the breakup where I was like, this is sophisticated.
Well, I think that's the sweetest spot when you can watch like absolute trash and think it's smart. Like,
yes.
I remember watching Final Destination and being like, oh my God, this movie is so smart and so edgy. And like, this movie is like a book. This movie is
literature. I went into my AP comp class and called the show Lost Literature.
Well, that was the age, like 10th and 11th grade, you were looking at everything in terms of like symbolism.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
Everything was complete. I was watching Grey's Anatomy being like, oh my God, in the pilot, this foreshadows. I was just like, I was thinking like the most.
That was me with Desperate Housewives.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Major.
Oh, my God. So
every episode title is a Sondheim song. It's like, yeah, like it was so easy to like layer on meaning onto that show.
To trick kids into thinking you're intellectual.
The one where like Laurie Metcalf is like in the supermarket. Do you know what I'm talking
about?
Oh,
you mean the episode Bang?
Bang.
The iconic episode Bang, a masterpiece of
Laurie
soap.
Metcalf holds up a grocery store. Yes.
Laurie Metcalf holding up a grocery store.
Kirsten Warren.
Sorry?
She kills Kirsten Warren, which is the name of the actress that plays the woman who dies in an episode.
Yes,
spoiler.
Correct. Also, you know, Dana Delaney.
Dana.
No one can say Dana Delaney was not in Desperate Housewives. No one can say she wasn't.
No, she was in it multiple times.
And you know how her character left the show? Sudden lesbianism.
Well, that can be deadly.
For her character, it was. For her check, it was.
I do also remember when they were... I remember also when one season ended with just a fire that burned the entire Wisteria Lane.
Okay, ready?
Oh, yeah.
What is everyone's favorite disaster episode of a shitty soap, quote-unquote shitty soap show?
I got it.
Go, Sam.
The Grey's Anatomy episode where there's the bomb in the guy...
Code Black.
In the guy's heart or something?
Code Black, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So the end of the world as we know it, yeah.
Christina Ricci comes in holding a bomb in someone's chest. And...
yes, yes.
This is the Super Bowl episode, isn't that right, Bowen Yang?
This is the Super Bowl episode. It was, I think it was the highest rated Grey's Anatomy episode ever. And I think, I watched it again the other week, and I think it is great television. I think it's really
stunning.
Well written. It's really good.
My instinct was to say the Grey's Anatomy episode where the poll is going through two different people. And
yep.
Yeah.
One of them has
Into You Like a Train, season two.
Yeah.
Wait, Matt, do you really remember all these? Like the titles?
Mm-hmm. I do actually remember The End of the World as We Know It as a title.
Yes, that was the Code Black episode.
Two-parter. Yeah. It's The End of the World, know it.
Yeah. As We Know It.
You guys are crazy.
But I stopped watching Grey's after, I guess, season four. It must have been.
I think I made it through season six. The episode that really upset me was the shooting episode.
Shooting episode. Mm, yeah, that was really intense.
Well, they graphically killed many characters that were series regulars out of nowhere. And I think
Moore, I think they killed. Oh, no, they didn't. They didn't kill
Mandy. Wait, I'm sorry. There was a shooting in Seattle Grey's Hospital?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, that's too much. I don't like that.
I think the season before, there was a plane crash that most of them were on. And that's how Lexi dies and Mark Sloan.
Ooh, yeah.
Basically,
the plane crash was after the shooting, unfortunately.
After the
shooting. Crashes after the shooting. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that my favorite insane moment on one of those shows had to be the tornado on Wisteria Lane.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Oh, yep. Sure.
You had
sure.
Roger Sterling get impaled by a picket fence.
Oh. Yes. Conveniently, John Slattery was Eva Longoria's husband on the show, and he was like blackmailing her or something, or like she was going to go to jail or something because of something he was doing, and he took a white picket fence through the chest. Come on, symbolism. Suburbia will kill ya.
That's why it's literature.
So much.
He's done a lot. He's done very, very, very good things. And I think consistently good.
I'll tell you what else he
could
do.
I was expecting you to say, and very, very bad things.
No, I'm like, I was about to say that, but I don't think he has.
No, memorable little guest roles or recurring guest roles and a lot of good stuff.
Yes.
Like him as the politician in 30 Rock. Or, yeah, was that 30 Rock?
Yeah. Where he's like the blue collar.
He
politician.
Wears the diaper.
Yeah.
He's in a lot of good stuff. I would let him gnaw on me.
Oh, I would. Yes. I would just commit suicide. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. He can get
it. Bowen, sure. Would you let him murder on. You in any form? Or
I would let him
tickle you. Tickle you. Little tickles.
Sometimes. I would let him shoot a little like crossbow and have the arrow graze my shoulder.
Oh, I thought you were going to say shit on my face.
That is so gorgeous.
No. I let him shoot a crossbow and shit on my face. Oh. Yes.
No thanks. Okay. No thanks. Poop. Gotta
no
say.
No thanks.
It.
Poop.
No thanks.
And I deal with assholes all the time.
Oh, honey. Oh my goodness.
Honey,
are you guys using these like crotch deodorants and like ball toners?
Absolutely
and
not.
Stuff.
No.
First of all, we should say that we've been sent some stuff, and there's an ad that we'll probably get to later on this.
Oh, sorry, is that an ad?
Is this SponCon? Is this SponCon right now?
I actually am wearing some right now.
Whenever my balls are stinky as hell, I use
ball toner. I bought separately. Went to Pure for Men and bought like. The fiber pills, which do not work on me.
Wait, we are both Pure for Men power users.
Make that
him.
Three.
Wait, you know who swears? I don't need
Joel.
It. My hole is like, I'm like clean all the time. Clean as a whistle. Feels like velvet.
Clean all the
I mean,
time.
I think Pure for Men has
Is this true?
Me.
No, just kidding.
But is it that you're supposed to take one giant, is it that you're supposed to take one gigantic shit every day and that's it?
Joel swears by it.
God.
It's supposed to be one giant
sure,
shit.
Sure, I'll share this about myself.
Yeah,
I take one shit every morning.
And that's it?
That's it.
I'm taking four a day total, right?
Yes.
And I'm taking one big shit in the morning, and then I'm taking like three cauldron ones later on in the day. Poisonous shit.
Did you just start taking?
I've had it for like a month now.
Okay, yeah. I had a weird thing with, I started PrEP, and then that was too much for me, and I stopped.
Did anyone here, when they started PrEP, get a little sick in the beginning?
That's what I'm saying. I did, but then I was also like going through a separate minor and not important surgery, so I was like, I can't be all sick and doing something else, so I just stopped.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what I was going to say, but generally, I was going to say that I tried Pure for Men. I'm still taking it, but I was taking it for like a month, and it was kind of working, and then I stopped, got deeply constipated, and then I started again, and I'm like still on that journey of trying to like regulate again, and it's not like working perfectly.
I took it for a full calendar year with no bottoming in my life, just as a fiber supplement.
That's nice.
Yeah. I mean, is this fun to hear about? That's always what I wonder when we talk
please
about our
write
holes
in.
Our...
Oh, no, they love it. They love it. I really like talking about
please
it.
Please write in.
I actually kind of want to say right now that, Bowen, have you used your ball stuff that they sent you?
I have.
I'm willing to use it right now.
On the cam?
As in right now?
I kind of want to like try it out now live.
Go.
I'm going to get my stuff. Talk about
this really is SponCon.
Having butt sex and stuff.
So it is just like ball cologne.
Explain. So it is a spray. It's not like a I don't know, a powder or a balm or something.
It's a spray, and then there's like basically a cream, a lotion that's just safe for your, it's scrotum safe, I guess. I don't know what about your skin down there would, I mean, it's less or more perfumed. I don't know. Okay, so Matt has the bottle. Matt's back with the bottle. And he's spraying it.
So what we have here is we have ball deodorant and we have ball toner, refreshing ball toner.
Matt, I have to say, there are so many of your listeners are currently jerking it to you explaining this process.
George is right. So. I can feel them.
I'm taking my pants off. You can't see it.
Okay.
Oh my God. Okay. This is history. And that's history right here.
So what do I use first? The toner or the deodorant?
Deodorant is more of like a moisturizer that you can just like rub.
Okay, so got it. So this is like a
I can't believe this is happening.
Like a gel.
This is very like Howard Stern.
This is very Joe Rogan. Yeah, it's very Howard Stern. What is the machine on Howard Stern
What is it, like a fart gun or something?
Like the sex machine. No, there's like a sex machine.
Yeah, we need to do something like really right. messed up.
I'm putting it in my hand. How much are you supposed to use?
I can confirm he's using it. Oh right, my God. I'm a little incredulous.
I'm rubbing it on my...
This is like...
This is weird.
It's been a while since I've been on this podcast and I don't really know what turns you've taken.
I thought Sam and I were going to come in and kind of like bring a kooky, fun energy and like disrupt things, but I did not expect to be the conservative one.
No, I'm like, everyone stop.
This feels so great.
I actually, you know, I'm going to break character and say, you're making me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's not breaking character for you, prude ass.
Oh my God, stop. This is all escalating too quickly.
Okay,
that's
I have
one
to
of the
say
worst
something.
You can call a person.
Everyone feels so comfortable calling me prude.
This you are feels rude. Unbelievable. It feels amazing.
He's just doing the ad. You're just
Matt,
doing this
stop
ad.
Stop doing the
at this
ad.
Point.
This is disgusting. Okay, wait, here's what.
You guys love my balls. Every single one of you thought about
perfect
it.
Perfect in every way.
What?
I said, as much as this product seems perfect in every way, and I would love it if you sent me some so I can also try it in the privacy of my own home, I still happen to think this is inappropriate for the podcast.
Here's what I will say. I am anti-deodorant in general. And the last thing we need is more deodorant. I don't need to be deodorizing other parts of my body. I can't even deodorize what I have, and I don't want to.
Why are you this?
Because I think it's fine. Like, it doesn't smell that bad. It's fine.
Gonna use the toner.
This is an area where I disagree with Sam because if I don't wear deodorant, I smell so bad within truly like 30 minutes.
Yeah. But Sam is like making this sort of rule. That's not a rule, but Sam is being like, I'm anti-deodorant because I like it when people smell bad, but it feels very sort of like... It goes against respect, like sort of olfactory
anti-respectability politics.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, well, but it's like I don't know that I agree with Sam either.
I don't want people to smell bad. I just want them to smell like plain. Like
I don't want them to smell so good. I like a man that smells really good.
But wait,
I like a man that
like
smells.
If
like
you
a
just
man.
Put on, if you put on an inoffensive like. You know, Arm & Hammer deodorant, you smell more plain than if you don't put anything on and then smell bad.
That's true. That's true.
That's true.
Like, I'm not wearing a deodorant that's like, I don't know. Can't think of a single scent as an example.
And if I'm being completely honest,
cookies
when I'm
and
like,
cream flavored.
When I'm like around like, you know, like professional things, I do wear deodorant because I don't want to be upsetting to people. But I don't really like when you're having sex with someone and like they're like down by your balls. I'll say it on this podcast if we're Howard Sterning it. Like
yeah,
it's allowed to smell like balls.
Yeah, meanwhile Matt has his dick out.
And sometimes it should smell like balls because that smell is kind of hot.
I don't know, my thing is just like, I love the smell of men. Like I love the smell of like dick. Like I like it, but not nasty dick. Like it shouldn't be,
Well then
know,
shower,
like,
you
all
dumb
dick,
bitch.
All dick is nasty. All dick is nasty, sweetie. All dick is nasty and he has nothing to say.
I agree that I like the smell of a man.
Absolutely speechless.
I don't even like dick that much, to be honest with you. I'll get real controversial here. Like, I don't love sucking dick.
You've
don't
always
love,
said this.
I love. I
have
true.
You said this always?
I heard Matt say he's not a huge fan of dick.
Well, that's what I say every day when I instead of hello in the game show writers room, I say not a huge fan of dick still.
Yeah, Sam and I or Matt and I, excuse me, were coworkers, and he did walk in every day and say, "Guys, had some dick last night. Still not a fan."
No, I just, I don't know. I like ass and ass hole. Sorry.
Wow.
And that you like ass and asshole, and you don't like dick.
I don't like sucking dick.
Really?
Huh. Not really.
You know, you're one of the weirdest gay guys I've ever met.
I'm one of the weirdest gay guys. Wait, but you know who's gay? Bowen. Bowen loves dick.
Not really. I don't love sucking it either.
I just want to say Sam and I both love dick. And if you guys love alienating to the Las Culturistas community,
then so be it.
I feel come like to Stradiolab.
You're all being I'm gay, but I don't love dick. Like, yes, you do.
No,
like,
no.
No, it's so true. It's so true. It's my true experience. Like, I'm gay. I like men sexually. Dick, could take it or leave it. Like, whenever I get like a sent a dick photo, I'm always like, yeah, that's a dick. I'm never like looking at a dick like
scented?
Great.
Wait.
Dick.
Sent a. I also heard scented dick.
Back to the ad. Always trying to plug it.
I do want to say that I'm really happy that I did use Manscaped Reviver and Toner on my balls today.
So did you use it on your balls and your shaft?
It kind of like got everywhere.
Okay.
I think it's pretty cool to sort of decentralize like male sexuality from sex organs. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Like I'm not obsessed with dick. It depends on the dick, but I'm not someone who's like, I gotta have dick every time, you know?
I mean, sure. I love a little eroticism. Yeah.
I'm down for just, general male sexuality, but I'm not going to say I don't also like dick.
Oh, baby girl. In my early 20s, when I was frotting my way around New York City, some of the best memories of my life. Not a
really,
hole in
why?
Sight. Just because it was easy, it was not painful. Nowadays, you know, you get to your late 20s, you figure out sex. All of a sudden, it's stuffing holes every single time. People got to really figure it out.
To be fair, I still haven't figured it out.
You haven't?
I'm learning. I'm getting better every time.
Really?
But I think so. But this is the thing, is that the four of us, I'm going to bring another element into this conversation.
Oh my God. Uh-oh. Oh my God.
I don't know if I ever want to have sex with someone under the age of 27 ever
again.
Yeah,
that's a good rule.
Correct. Yeah, I'm not necessarily. No, yeah.
Just because.
Unless they majored in it in college. No.
In sex?
Yeah, unless they like have like a Gallatin like situation where they like created their own major.
A sex degree.
Sex degree.
I just want to say, I actually believe the opposite to be. I do not want to have sex with someone with a sex degree. anyone whose
academia
is
not for the bedroom.
Anyone who's like, what? I just love sex. Yeah. And that's like your entire personality. Or people who are like into the sex positivity movement. Like there was like, when I was in college, there was like a sexual health resource center where they just like gave you free condoms, and then they wore like little buttons that said like pee after sex, and it was like some girl with blue hair, and she was
like least
does
attractive
this make you uncomfortable
ever. Yeah,
I don't like that. In fact, I actually think oftentimes that is a sign that you are so repressed that the only way you can deal with sex is by being like get ready for me to say this word. Are you ready? Cock. And it's like, that's your whole...
George, you absolutely are no holds barred against like sex health workers.
No, well, it needs to... No, I love sex health workers. What I don't like is girls with blue hair on college campuses who sell buttons that say, so what? I'm a bottom.
Yeah, my ass is an erogenous zone. Yeah.
Sure.
All right, everyone name
I'm on my period and pregnant or whatever. Yeah.
But George, you know, to be fair, you are the prude in the room.
I
so it's like just feels a little biased coming from you.
Let me say something about my prudishness. I my reputation for being prude is because I was in the same relationship for most of my 20s, so I kind of didn't explore as much as many of my friends during that time. But that does not mean I'm not, incredibly horny all the time.
Indiana Jones in the bedroom, hun, cracking that whip, wearing a hat.
George,
generally
I have a question.
Slaying,
yes, ask your
running
question.
From big old balls, bring it back.
What was this intervening period between these? Because let's just sort of reveal if that's okay that you are currently in a relationship.
I am. That's right.
what was this intervening time between these two relationships like for you? Were you a whore?
No, that's the thing. And that is another, it's like, I was in this relationship then. I was very like, it was a difficult breakup.
Whore.
We kind of kept
whore.
Hooking up for like whore. A full year after it.
Psycho. You did? Oh my God, I've been there, hon.
Yes, we did. And that was, it's difficult for me. I think I'm whore. Much better about it now, but I think it was difficult for me to separate emotions whore. From sex.
Yes,
and
yes.
I think, and I honestly think that like, I mean, it was very serendipitous.
I'm jealous of this.
It was very serendipitous that I started dating my current boyfriend when I did, because I would say like, it's not like I was looking for a relationship. I was like, it was the first, I would say it had been a few months of me being very comfortable with being single. I had hooked up with a few people. But sometimes you meet someone and you really like them and you say, you know what? I like this person.
Mm-hmm. Oh. You sure do.
Wait, Bowen, to your point about not wanting to have sex with people before they're 27 or something,
yeah.
Young people, I feel like I've always been like, as you know, the James Gandolfini thing, I've had like a daddy thing. I've always liked daddies, older men, please, please. But I'm kind of worried. Thank you. What happens when I am 40, is it going to flip? Like, I want to say, I obviously at this point in my life don't want to have sex with people like under the age of 30, but will that change when I'm like 40? What's going to happen?
It's hard for me to extrapolate for myself, definitely, but I'm generally going along the principle of I want to have sex with someone who is evenly matched with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like age is a big part of it in terms of like experience.
Yes,
if I'm like fetishizing a young person when I'm 40, I'm fetishizing a 28-year-old who's mm-hmm. like mature for 28.
Correct.
Yeah.
So basically, you at 40 want to fuck you now.
I'm not into. I'm 29. First of all, I'm not.
First of all, get it straight.
Whore.
Do your research.
I will never be into like a 19-year-old. Like that will never be
right,
my story.
Right.
And you shouldn't be.
Right.
And yes, it's true. I shouldn't be.
As someone who was 19 and lost their virginity to a 29-year-old, it's not great.
Psychotic.
I think that should be. Well, it's like, it's good, and then like it's loaded. I feel like
it's
there's like
this
weird
is a
things.
Loaded discussion because you're like, people have different experiences. People are different maturity levels. Sometimes, you know, I'll you know, people will be like, oh, anyone.
No,
who
it's
is-
psychotic.
Whore.
People will be like, you know, if you're 19 and you're dating someone who's 22, that's grooming. And you're like, well, you know, not always. Sometimes, you know, sometimes it can be and it's bad.
You know what? Sexually, I'm really happy that at 19, I first had sex with someone who was older and knew what they were doing. Relationship-wise, it's weird. Like when a 19-year-old is dating someone who's 30, like unless everyone is like radically checking in with each other, it's weird. But sexually, I was thrilled to have sex with someone that
sure.
knew what they were doing.
The idea that I would, when I was 18, like when I was in college, I only hooked up with other people that went to my college. The idea that I would have sex with someone older who's like,
I very much sought out older. Like when I was 27, no. but like, or when I was 21, yeah, I was like hooking up with like a 28-year-old and felt like that was enough of a jump. But I guess when it's like more, that's actually not that big of a jump, but it also is weird.
At the time it is, because I think you do so much maturing between the ages of like 22 and 26. You know what I mean? Like that, like those mid 20s are like such a sea change in your life that.
Yes.
I get thinking like I'm 21 and this 28-year-old is a lot older. I remember when I was 21, I was like sort of like hooking up on and off with someone who was 27 and I would consider him old and he would always remind me that he was young.
Well, that's psychotic too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's in jail now.
Well, mine's in LA,
what?
A prison of its own.
it was O.J. Simpson.
Oh,
I miss him.
Oh.
Okay, let's take a quick break and be right back with George and Sam. And we're back.
We're so back.
Oh, wow.
Well, see, this is funny because we don't do breaks on our podcast, you know? So when
okay, unprofessionals.
Unprofessional. Whore.
Whore. Whore.
So you guys doing
do you
that,
even have sponsors?
We literally don't
no,
because we're like actually
beautiful.
DIY and punk rock.
get
sorry
sponsors
we're DIY.
Sorry, we're an independent DIY punk rock podcast.
Bitch, I went on their podcast. They had me downloading that Google Cast or whatever the fuck it was. What was that?
Zencaster.
Yeah, Zencaster. More like Zendaya. No, it's actually Rule of Culture number 50.
Zencaster, more like Zendaya.
What does that even mean?
Shut
Matthew?
Up, whore. Get out, whore.
So basically you saying, okay, we're going to take a break right now. Okay, we're back from our break. I mean, I was so jarred.
Okay. That, I just want everyone to know at home, that's what's happening.
That's what's happening. And there's smoke and mirrors in it to make it feel like there's a break. There was literally not a break.
Let me tell you guys something.
Ooh, here we go. Here he goes.
Me and Matt, we're a little glimpse, baby, into your fucking future.
Exactly. Because
guess what? We were the scrappy little nobodies Anna Kendricks
yes,
in the
we
podcasting
were.
Space. Two little gay boys. And now look at us.
Bitch, we're huge. Julia Fox.
And Uncut Gems.
We are downtown it girls, and we don't need sponsors to make us relevant. Yeah. It'll be
we
an organic
podcast for
growth.
Our soul. We podcast because we love the art.
We're gonna Julia. Let me tell you something. Steven Soderbergh reached out to her and said, "I love you in Uncut Gems." We don't have it, and she's doing that movie now.
What movie is that?
Did that just get announced? It got announced today.
It got announced today, but I don't remember what it's called or what it's about.
But it's got all these like, it's like these like, I mean, everyone on film, everyone who has a fucking Letterboxd account is cumming their diapers tonight.
I mean, something. Honey, when are they?
Who is Letterboxd? I don't think so. I don't think so, honey. Letterboxd.
Thank 100%. You. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh God. I mean,
I'm glad we can agree on something.
That's all we'll say about it.
I'm
that's
so
all we can
glad
say.
We can fucking agree for once. Oh my God.
There is nothing worse than a self-styled film person. Mm.
But then you have like, but then like certain people on Letterboxd are like, you know, you got your like Hari Nefs who like write these like 33 paragraph reviews. It's like a movie
can I tell
review
you
app.
Hari Nef yes. was the last person I met before lockdown started.
Wow. What'd you guys
Isn't
do?
That weird?
How did you
March
meet
12th,
Hari?
March 12th, you guys went to the spa.
It was the last. I mean, and you know, now that I'm saying it, it's like it was at a party. So maybe the order was such that I then met one more person after, but. It was a party where I distinctly remember like that one of the last people I spoke to was her and I had never met her before. And it was like the last party I went to pre-lockdown.
Do you That's think she's cool. sort of hopping around town going on interviews and being like, you know, the last person I met was actually George Severus?
No, I think it had a much more profound effect on me than it did on her.
I'll say. I bet she'd never talk about it on a podcast.
Someone, but I have to say it was, and this is how I know she's a star. Someone who actually is a famous podcaster, I won't say who, didn't
Michael
recognize
Barbaro.
Her. It, no, but you're honestly not far off. Someone
Wait,
didn't
would
recognize
you say Michael Barbaro?
Didn't know who she was and said, oh, something, you know, she was with me. So maybe he was like, oh, are you a comedian or something? And then she says the sentence, I'm an actress. But it was the best line reading I've ever seen anyone. Just her saying
was
the sentence,
that the line
I'm
reading?
An actress.
I'm an actress. I'm an act. Like, what?
I'm an actress. And there was so much there that was not
powerful.
That was unsaid. It was like, A, I'm an actress. B, you are a fool for not knowing
yeah,
that. And
that's
C,
stupid.
Remember this.
Yeah, yeah. Should I start doing that? Should we all start doing that? I'm a podcaster. Like, I don't know. Like,
well,
as long as we say it with conviction.
Bowen, are you nice to strangers?
No.
No.
I think
what,
Bowen is very nice. I've been with Bowen when he's been recognized and he's very nice.
He's very nice. But when someone crosses a line, Bowen will give them the
oh,
icicle.
Yeah.
He will
but
give them
I'm
the icicle.
I'm very sensible and judicious about who I am rude to. Mm-hmm. Because it takes an effort for me to flip a switch and be like, I'm gonna be rude to this person because they deserve it. Because they justifiably I should make them feel bad.
Like if you ever met Ramona Singer.
Like if I ever met Ramona Singer, everyone tune in to watch What Happens Live. I was a little awkward because there's a little bit of a lag when they do it on Skype now, but it was very fun. I don't know if they cut it out. I called Ramona Singer a white supremacist.
You did?
In front of Andy Cohen and Monique
In front
Samuels.
Of Andy Cohen and Monique Samuels. Wow. Okay, sorry, George. What were we going to say?
No, I the last time, well, one of the last times Ben and I were together, we both Bowen and I don't no longer smoke cigarettes, but we really wanted one, and Bowen went and bought a pack, and someone approached him, you know, regardless of all of this, and said hi and everything. And then as we were on our way out, he gave the rest of the pack to that person.
Oh, but that's because that was self-preserving, because I was like, I shouldn't smoke the rest of these cigarettes.
No, Bowen, it was because you're generous.
Matt, now that you're a big HBO Max star, are you going to be nice or are you going to be mean? Are you going to be
I'm always nice. I'm always too nice.
Does it get you in trouble?
I'll say this. No.
Oh, okay.
So there's no excuse to not be very kind.
Well, I'm sold. Well,
Matt.
No,
Matt
I don't know. No one recognizes me ever.
They will.
Also, I have no concept of, like, you know what? In New York, sometimes. In LA, never. Because who cares?
Well, in LA, people are less likely to say something, I think.
Yeah, because who cares?
Is that true? I don't know.
Well, because if I'm there, then like probably like Kristen Bell is a foot away.
Well, you're always a foot away from Kristen Bell.
Well, Kristen and I are very close. And so basically we're always going everywhere together. And so whenever I'm out, like, people are always like, Kristen, oh my God, it's you. And she's always kind of like taking the brunt of that. But what I mean is, like,
well, she always says, have you met Matt?
She's so nice.
And
she's,
they all so say, caring. No. No, but apparently Angelina Jolie goes to my Gelson's.
Oh, what's a Gelson's?
That's fun.
It's a supermarket chain in Los Angeles.
Yeah. But, like, sorry. That's what I mean. It's like, there's like huge stars everywhere. Like, I know, like, I don't know. I can't say that. Like, literally, like, Greta was just here. I was helping her with a self-tape. And she, like, was like, guess who my friend is on a date with right now? And she said the name of a huge celebrity. And I was like, that's insane that can just happen. You can just,
I found
date
out someone
celeb.
I know was consistently fucking.
Okay.
Oh, oh my that's God. That's
fucking
good.
Hot.
I know. It's
that's
hot.
Great.
That's hot. Love that.
Wow.
I'll say the person that's on the date with this kid right now that.
Well, oh. But, I mean, listen, that's, I'm sorry to say.
A little slutty boy. Yeah.
Is he a slut?
Oh, he
well,
is coming.
I mean, in my mind, he's
you,
has
Bowen,
fucked everyone.
You guys were both there. He rolled
we
up
were,
to this
we were
party.
All there that, we were all there that night.
Yeah, he rolled up to this party with these little 23-year-old twinks. And if he were on this podcast, he would not be saying, I'm never going to have sex with someone under 27. He'd be saying,
no.
I'm currently hooking up with 23-year-old twinks.
Yeah, if he was on here, and then you guys said, you know, I don't want to have sex with anyone under 27, there would be suddenly radio silence, and then it would be beep.
Yeah. He would wow. Turn a little bit of a little bright shade of beet red.
He would turn
honey.
Turnip red, and he would say, "I don't feel safe here."
Yeah, this I would say this is not a medium for him.
No,
but I mean, unlike George Severus, once Matt would put the ball deodorant on his testicles, this person would be like, "Yes, please." Mm-hmm. I think.
Well, the reason that George reacted in the sort of adverse way that he did is because he secretly was very into it.
George, is that
he
true?
He loves my balls, that George.
George, you have to tell me if that's true.
I mean, listen,
I'm freaking
Matt, and I
out.
Matt and I have a history.
We do.
Have you guys hooked up?
Okay, and George no. And I have a history.
And George and Bowen and I.
But, well, George and I it's just our paths never crossed.
Well, no, I think it's the same with Matt. I mean, I think it was longer. Okay. With Matt, it was one magical weekend when we were both in Canada, and we both
sweet.
Told the same producer that we wanted to
hook up with
hook
the
up.
Other.
And yeah, then with Bowen, up. It was I had like a sustained crush.
Sustained?
Well, no. Listen, it was like a, you know, for what.
It was all revealed one night when we went to this like party, and then like we were both drunk enough that we were just like. Oh yeah, like I had a crush on you, like when I first met
right,
you.
Right,
and then we very quickly were like, oh yeah, me too. Like we were like, oh okay, that's fun.
It felt very sad. I mean, it was a long time ago. It was also just like, it's weird to think about it now because it was like when we first met and you were very charming and you still are, and it was you know, it was like
still
in fact during
it.
The time that I was going through that famous breakup.
Mm-hmm. But see, maybe you weren't really available.
I would say that is very true. And I would actually say
he was not emotionally available.
Me not making, I would say me like not doing anything about that crush, if I'm being generous with myself, was both about me and also like out of respect to you, because it would not, I mean, I was not right, you know, it would not have been cute.
And thank you. Mm. What about Matt? What about with Matt? That was just like a magical weekend. Sort of like a before sunrise kind of thing. But then there was a producer involved.
It was, we met in the car on the way, we're getting off the plane at JFL, and I immediately knew he was gay. Mm. And I was gay too. I immediately knew I was gay. And
that's
so
when you came out.
That was like came out that weekend. It was a huge weekend for me. And no, but we both said to the one of the producers at JFL, like, what's that person's deal?
I do want to say I was very, I mean, I wouldn't say very introverted, but I was kind of, you know, this was,
you were much more shy than you were now.
Yes, I was more shy. I hadn't moved to New York yet. The whole thing, it was my first big anything. Like literally before that, the things I had done were like comedy festivals in, you know, Austin, you know, like
there was a lot going on that week. I mean, that JFL weekend, there's always like a lot going on.
Yes, there was a lot going on, and I was not. It never occurred to me that we could have hooked up.
Well, you had a boyfriend.
Mm. That's true, I did,
and so did I.
That's right.
Wow. So it was separate lives. You know, I feel that, you know, Bowen is pretty public about his crush on Samuel.
Oh, I mean, but this is like, we talk about the broad gay as much as we talk about my unrequited feelings for Sam. But this is years ago.
But I do want to say the one pair that doesn't have any history is Sam and Matt.
We never really went there.
Well, but also Sam and George.
Well, yes.
But also Sam and George.
What is our podcast rather than a long, long edging process?
Well, that's really hot whore. Oh my God, that would be so crazy if the finale of Stradio Lab was you guys telling each other that you were in love.
Like out of nowhere. True.
Yeah, it made no sense. We're aggressive to each other the whole time and then we figure out why.
But Sam, why didn't you ever have a crush on me?
Yeah, Sam.
Am I not your type?
Look, you're beautiful. You know that, but you're not my type.
Yeah.
You're
not. I wouldn't call myself a Samuel type.
Yeah. See, Sam is one of these people, and I respect it so much in a way. Whereas with other people, I'm like, oh, that person has a type. Like their scope is so narrow. But with Sam, I'm like, it's such an aggressive stance on this is the only type of person I'm sexually attracted to, and anyone who does not check these boxes has no chance.
Is paid dust.
I think it is toxic, and I wish it were not true.
No.
I think when like you meet like a straight guy who's like has a clear type, it's like, ugh, that is so bad. But I can't help it, and it's what I like.
It's what it is. I get it.
I've got very specific boxes.
I get it.
See, but when you're pissed.
I mean, this is what a lot of people who are into bears are like. I think it's such a specific. It's one of the only healthy. Preferences.
One of the only healthy fetishes.
Am I the only one here who doesn't think I don't have a type?
Wait, sorry. I want to take back that I said one of the only healthy fetishes. All fetishes are healthy. I meant one of the only healthy like preferences like that. I think it's much. I feel much more safe with someone who says I like bears than with someone who's like I like twinks.
Yeah, sure, yeah, sure.
Yeah. That's like they feel like a hunter.
I also tried when I was like young. I was like, I'm gonna try to date like skinnies.
Normal?
Like hard. Non-bear men, like people. Hard. I feel like a lot of people, early 20s, like I was, are like of slimmer build and not of like bearish build, and that comes very easily to a 40-something. And like I was trying to date people who were like 23 and like skinny, and it was like not clicking at all. Mm. It just like was not hot at all.
I get it.
Is this bad?
No. Don't worry. No, I'm not offended anymore, but it took until today.
And Matt, look at it this way. You know, you, in my eyes, are 23 and skinny.
Thank you. That's huge. Thanks.
AKA disgusting, trash, unlovable.
Ultimately, unlovable. the square, the quadrant, we have not crossed swords.
No,
and
we
that's
have not
actually
crossed
fine,
swords.
No. And that's fine, and that's okay, and that's healthy sometimes.
Yeah, and I do think, you know, at this point it is too late.
I want to put out there, let's just denormalize like gay men befriending guys they've hooked up with, like, whoa, or just that's their way of making friends. I'm like, I don't do mm-hmm. that. I have 2-3 people I've done that with, and I'm like, and this is a weird like blurring of the lines to me already. Where, but some men just seem to have this as like a recruitment tool for their friendships. 100%.
Or there's like groups of gay friends and they're like, oh, honey, we've all hooked up with, you know, everyone's hooked up with everyone. Remember mm-hmm. summer 08?
I have a real thought about this though.
I
agree. It's like, it doesn't need to be one way or the other. It's like friends or friends, whatever. I think that this is kind of weird. My first friend that I ever made that was gay was also the person that I lost my virginity to. Therefore, I think that whenever I meet a gay person, it does go through the filter first of what do I feel for them sexually. And that's something that I have to like probably work out in therapy. But like it is, I think, like that first gay relationship that you have and the intricacies of that will sort of, well, I'll pose the question to the group. Do you feel that the first gay experience that you had, whether this is a friend or a lover or whatever, has dictated, if you were to look back on your sort of gay friendship life, anything about it?
Oh, my shit's too dark, so I'm not gonna share.
Wait, say it one more time.
So yes.
Well, yeah. Wait, what's the question?
Okay,
sorry.
Sorry, go ahead, Matt.
You probably can ask it better than me, George. You're a lot
smarter. No. Let me know if I understood it correctly. Has your first sexual experience influenced the way you process
relate to men,
meeting any new gay man? And I would say for me, I don't think so. No, because my first sexual experience was like freshman year of college with someone I felt was like way more experienced than I was, but was my age. He was like one of these people that had like been, I mean, and you know, this is his story to tell, but had been like hooking up with older people through high school in a way that in my mind, from my perspective, seemed like he knew what he was doing. It did not seem like, you know, anything darker than that, but I mean, who am I to say? But I felt like he was way more experienced, but was very accepting of the fact that I wasn't, and I didn't feel like inadequate in any way. And in fact, that was probably one of the healthier, it's like I had way worse hookups like later in my life, but I think I was lucky that my first one was good. But I would say to your point, Matt, like I less so feel, am I attracted to this person than the opposite? Like when I meet someone, I'm like, do they find me hideous? Like, what do they feel towards me?
Oh, I relate to that.
Yeah, I feel like it's hard for me to, like, I think part of my thing was, like, trying to date people who, like, there was, like, a closet, I was driven by closetedness, and so I was like, okay, who does no one know? And, like, that kind of, so I think I still, it's hard for me to find friends attractive because, like, I'm, like, okay, friends with them first, and that, like, desexualizes it in a weird way.
Yeah.
Like, not always, but there's something about that. If we're doing Thayer on the pod, then
and we are.
Yeah, there's something to that.
That's, you guys are charging us $225 after, right? And you're out of network.
And, well, this is required for me and Bowen because the podcast is becoming a therapy. So this actually was required training.
I was going to say I'm in therapy and Matt is sort of dragging his heels in terms of going to therapy, which I think he should go to like everyone else. You should go.
But don't you think I'm doing an amazing job on myself?
Have you ever done therapy?
No, I haven't.
You know what, Matt? I am actually thinking of stopping therapy, but this is a point to therapy because I think it helped me so much in the year to two years that I've done it, that I actually feel, not to say that I'm fixed, but I actually think I'm okay now not having it for a period of time.
Yeah, well, isn't that how it works?
Well, it depends. I mean, there are people that, you know, consistently have therapy.
Or isn't that a way it can work?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the way, to be honest. That was my goal with it. I because also it's a lot of money. I don't want to do it like my whole life.
Yeah.
I have a low deductible, sweetie. So I'm in it.
Well, you know, actually, Bowen Yang did actually give me an ultimatum one time. He was like, I told him, I was very upset with him while he was smoking cigarettes. And I said, he has to stop. And he said, I'll stop when you go to therapy. And it sounds like, well, it's not really a one-to-one, but it is what
sure
he said.
Sure it is.
No, it's not.
Yeah, physical health, mental health.
Yeah.
Okay. The ancient Greeks said both are important.
Is that what they said?
Yes.
These two Greek queens
whore.
Are informing the whore.
We are.
I just
Greek
think you should go.
I know. I want to go. And honestly, can I ask you a question flat out? And can you be honest?
Uh oh.
To who?
Bowen,
to who?
Get the lie detector.
To you, Bowen.
Yes.
Have you actually not been smoking cigarettes?
I have fallen off the wagon recently. Okay,
cool. Bowen, because you're back at work. This offline, because this is something I have been struggling with. Like, it really is one of those things where you're like, my God, if I hadn't just like wanted to seem cool when I was 16.
I developed, exactly. It is
the one thing where like, I'm not, if I ever meet young people, I will not be in any other way like sanctimonious. Like there's no, I'm not going to.
If I ever meet young people.
I'm not going to say anything about like school or what you should do or sex or drug, but it's like, just don't start smoking.
Don't smoke. Yeah. That's the one thing because it's so
I'm currently doing Nicorette gum.
I might just, the nicotine things don't work on me. I might just go to like a hypnotist at this point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun.
I was thinking that
over Zoom. Do they work? I don't know.
I think that does work. And I think the Nicorette, I think it worked for Pat. Like Pat didn't smoke cigarettes.
No, Pat didn't smoke cigarettes. He literally started.
I was addicted to the gum.
Just using the gum.
That's
actually
heard.
Now starting smoking so to quit funny. The Nicorette gum.
No, he isn't.
I'm
is
kidding,
that
I'm
real?
Kidding. No, no.
Wow, we haven't had Pat funny. On in a fucking minute.
And he's
guys,
here tonight.
Guys, get up.
He's here.
We have to get her back. I haven't checked in with her about her chewing. But listen, whatever
chewing.
Your vice is.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever your vice is, I accept the three of you. Okay.
Oh,
okay. That's nice.
Okay.
Okay.
I love
Well, it doesn't sound like you accept Bowen.
No, I do. I accept him greatly. It hurts. Okay. I'll say this. I don't care as much now that we're in COVID times and like that the world is insane and Trump doesn't pay his taxes or whatever. It's just like, I kind of don't really care if people are, you know, indulging in whatever they
have their
indulging.
Pacifiers.
If Bowen wants to smoke a cigarette, to fucking feel less stressed out. And I know that there's a lot going on. If he wants to smoke a cigarette, whatever. I'm not going to get on my fucking high horse and be like, don't smoke cigarettes because maybe it's making him feel better for a minute. I wish it wasn't the case, but I mean,
it's not good ultimately.
No, and you know that. And so you'll make your own decisions about it, but you know how I feel.
Yeah. Sam, what were you going to say?
It has the mood has passed.
But to bring back the mood.
Bring back the mood.
You were going to talk about bottoming? You want to talk about how good it feels to have a penis in your butt? That's really hard. And what hits your,
oh
it hits your prostate?
No, it doesn't have to be that hard. Jesus. Come on, make it a little soft. Make it go easy for
Give
me.
Give me that flaccid dick.
I don't like it when it's too hard.
Ouchy.
Really? It's a little ouchy.
Yeah.
George wants that penis very hard.
I want it to be hard. Listen, call me crazy, but I wanted it to be erect.
Listen, George is a sex negative person that wants the dick hard.
I can't get over this person that George has invented, which is a girl with blue hair saying, get
no,
ready for me to
I
say this
absolutely
word.
Know who you're talking about. I 100% know who you're talking about.
I know too. Oh yeah, I know her too. Her name is Millie.
Yes.
Everyone knows who I'm talking about. And she, and
her
let me tell
Corey.
You something else about, and I know Corey. I've been talking too much, and now that I recognize that, it's no longer a problem.
No. Go.
I had a huge crush on someone. This was my maybe sophomore, junior year, who was one
so
of the
hot.
People that worked at the Sexual Health Resource Center.
Okay.
And so in order to literally have anything to talk about with him, because he was not, you know, the most interesting person, he's now a doctor. I took this like one unit class that they offered on like sexual health, even though I did not care at all.
Yeah.
Just to have something to talk about with him. And this was a year long thing. And then it turns out he did not like me. So maybe that's where my sex negativity comes from.
This girl with the blue hair that you have invented, yes. I think she, if we're filling out this character a little, I also want to say she was in the theater group, but not the main one. She was in like the alternative theater group that like put on shows in like the cafeteria as opposed to the theater.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes. Like unauthorized, like in all caps, unauthorized, colon, bye bye birdie. And it's like a little, it's like bye bye birdie, but they say like, they call each other like sluts and stuff.
It's British and they call each other slags.
Yeah.
The difficult thing with her is that she ultimately does not have any talents or interests. And so she has landed.
She's not real. She's made up.
She has landed on sex because it's something that's just provocative enough that it doesn't have to build on any other personality.
Jesus.
It's really about her father.
Well, sure, but so is like theater, but she doesn't even have that.
Yeah.
Theater's about her father.
I'm just saying for people that are into that.
Yes. No. I feel some empathy towards this girl, even though she's not real. Because as we said, we do all know this person.
I have nothing but empathy for her.
Well, the thing about this girl is that she is the girl who we were friends with in high school, but in college there were people that we could actually be friends with, so we weren't friends with her anymore.
Oh my god,
she was a good ally in high school.
She was a great ally in high school. She was one of the only people that like was pro gay in the year like 2006.
She intrinsically knew you were a guy. I literally had a friend like this, and her name was Nikki. And I remember
drag her, dox her, list her address.
This is one thing I have to say about her. She was like my first like friend who she told me that she was bi, and I lied and said that I was bi, and this is truly like fourth grade, fifth grade. And
biphobic.
I remember that her screen name, no, her email was Gucci Nikki, like Gucci the brand, but it was spelled Gocchy. Nikki.
No.
Nikki.
I think that's like knowing. It's a knowing.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. It's ahead of its time.
It's a really queer way to spell Gucci, that's for sure.
And I also want to say about this girl that is in, we are now in college with her and distancing ourselves from her. We are the villains in this story. We are bad.
Oh, yeah.
We are bad because we get 1 ounce of like, well, actually, I know who I am now. And we're out. Like, she was there by our sides when we were in need. And we immediately bounced.
Yeah. We met one kind of cute gay guy named Tyler who was on his way out to a club who had a fake ID for us. And we left Corey, Nikki, Millie in the dust.
Okay. This is just an analog, like a grown-up analog in my own life only and no one else's, so maybe you guys don't relate, but recently I have unfollowed people who I worked at a day job with, like specifically like the like bougie white women who like didn't really care if I lived or died, or only like sort of like caught wind, like only like was aware that I existed like once I didn't work there anymore.
Right.
And I feel like there's some analog to Corey here where I'm just like, oh, I don't, you guys like don't really like, you guys aren't in my life anymore, and I don't need to see your like trips to Maine, and like I don't like that doesn't.
Hey, trip to Maine is beautiful.
Every trip to Maine
is beautiful. In these trying times, Maine is our only respite.
Now more than ever, Maine.
Now more than ever, Maine.
Underdog for title of ep.
Underdog. That's not very often that you like something enough to be title of ep, but not. Not quite enough to like make it so.
Well, what people don't know, what the readers don't know at home is whenever I say title of EP, we then have our producers, our team, they go and they check, try to clear the title. And so it doesn't always. Yeah. So it's fun. It's really important to have an underdog or an alternate because sometimes we can't always get clearance. Mm-hmm.
I still remember that there was a title of EP for my episode that I thought was going to be the title and then it wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was Rhymes with Zendaya.
Rhymes with Zendaya. Instead, it was My Big Fat Greek Culture.
Exactly.
Which I think is like a better title maybe for like a passerby of a podcast. But Rhymes with Zendaya, I think, is much more in the voice of Las Culturistas.
Exactly.
And that's why on this episode,
it's more you.
The underdog for title of EP is Rhymes with Zendaya.
Yeah. And you know what? Zendaya was the underdog at the Emmys and she took home the statue.
That's right.
Underdogs can be beautiful too.
One of my most toxic traits is I was kind of sad for Jennifer Aniston for 1 second.
Same.
That's not toxic.
No.
I think actually, I mean, Zendaya is like technically the underdog, but like Zendaya is like the cool one right now. It's like Jennifer Aniston wants needs
she
the
needed
boost
the
a
Emmy more than Ben Zed. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, she's got an Emmy. She's got.
I felt
an
bad
Emmy.
For Sandra. I know. I'm biased, but
yeah,
Sandra showed up on the Zoom.
She
clapped
sure did.
Clapped when Zendaya won. Wore like a beautiful like BLM jacket. In Korean, and like she like just showed up and like was present, and like I hope she gets her flowers someday from the damn Television Academy.
Yeah, you know what I also thought was such a flex was like the celebrities who couldn't even bother to get on Zoom.
Yes.
Like Meryl Streep was not getting on Zoom. Olivia Colman was not getting on Zoom. Laura Dern did not get on Zoom.
Cate Blanchett, who was the star of Mrs. America,
did not get on Zoom. No. I think they probably called ahead and were like, am I going to win? And they were like, no, girl.
Sure, sure, sure.
So don't waste Cate Blanchett's time. Cate Blanchett's not going to get on the Zoom and lose.
Who beat Cate Blanchett?
Ms. Regina.
Oh, well, King. Good.
Oh, sure,
that
sure.
That makes
sure.
sense.
You know what? And this is the one thing I'll say about the Emmys. I think the fact that the three things that won big, Watchmen, Schitt's Creek, and Succession, like, regardless of my personal feelings, I think all three of them capture something about the moment, and I think they were the correct winners.
Yes.
Despite the fact that there are certain people I'm sad lost, I think, you know, was the Schitt's Creek sweep a bit much? Sure, but I actually think it makes sense that those are the three big winners.
Sure.
Mm. George, that was such a tasteful take, such a positive you know, sort of just sort of you know, it's I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to see everyone else succeeding. I love that from you.
Can I throw something out there? While he was saying it, he looked so beautiful. He looked so beautiful while he was
very
giving
beautiful
that take. He's so
I always
beautiful.
Look more beautiful when I'm being positive.
Yeah,
kindness looks incredible on you.
Yeah, thank you look you. Stunning, babe.
Well, enjoy it while it lasts, bitch.
Oh my God, whore. You're so ugly. You're so ugly now, whore. It's crazy. You went from stunning icon to whore, ugly whore, in a second.
That's my comedy album is Stunning Icon to Whore Ugly.
That's watch title as George Tavares devolves over the course of an hour.
Stunning Icon to Whore Ugly is the title of that.
That's like,
write
it's
down.
A, it's a, yeah, it's from Justin to Kelly. Or I guess it would be Kelly to Justin.
That movie was about texting. You ever think about that?
What do
that?
You mean?
I've never seen it.
You've never seen it?
I've never seen it either.
I've never seen it either.
Stunning
but
icons.
I believe you when you say that it's about stunning icons.
Well, that's what
I believe.
Literally, that's what the movie was. It was from Justin to Kelly. Like they would text each other, and that's the whole crux of the movie is the bitchy blonde friend who, like, of course, was mean because she was a blonde.
Ashley Tisdale.
Well, basically, yes. She like somehow gets one of their phone and sends a text that's to fuck them up, and they fall for it. And she almost gets her way. That blonde bitch.
That's actually a really solid premise. I'm gonna say
amazing.
I like the simplicity of it.
Yeah,
George, simple. You're stunning. This warm, kind take.
You're glowing,
beautiful.
Babe.
Stunning icon.
Wait, you glow, Alison Brie. It's actually Real Culture number 49. You glow,
Alison Brie. I think it's time for I Don't Think So, Honey.
Why do you want to end?
I know. Can we keep going?
I'm kidding.
We don't. I'm mostly kidding.
You're supposed to write a sketch?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
What's it going to be?
Out.
Pitch it to us.
Babe, no, UCB class can wait. Unbelievable.
Bowen's taking his 301.
Bowen.
Taking
Joe
301.
Biden, but he's gay.
Oh, my God.
Fair, I would watch that sketch. I would watch that sketch.
That is funny.
I would absolutely watch that sketch.
Me too.
Joe Biden, but he's gay? What kind of things would he say, you think, George?
He'd say, sorry.
Malarkey in my asshole.
That's what I was
Malarkey, I'm
my
just
God,
a hole.
Amazing first beat. Sam, what would the second beat be?
That's the only beat I had. That's the only Joe Biden bit I know is the malarkey.
I think there's something like where something about, well, we have to do something with like Dr. Jill. Like maybe she's like, I'm a doctor. That's how I can tell my husband's gay.
Oh, you know? He'd be like, yeah, I've got a stutter from sucking dick too much.
Dick.
Apparently,
yeah.
You can get a stutter from that now.
Yeah, he's like, I must be gay. I named my son Hunter.
Oh, my God.
That old queen. What, George? You look really ugly.
I must
right
be gay.
Now.
I picked Kamala because Yas Queen.
Yes.
Yes.
End of sketch. End of sketch.
End of sketch.
Oh my God. And
live from New York.
And she comes in, and Maya Rudolph comes in playing Kamala, and she does a death drop. Yes. And then Lady Gaga comes in on Zoom and says, "Live from New York, it's kindness.
It's my city, New York.
Live from New York, I want to say, everyone, put your
this
paws up.
This is where
up.
I'm from.
Put your paws up.
This is
Charlie
where I grew up.
What if Lady Gaga was the host and she said, put your paws up for Charlie Puth?
I would stand. I would stand S-T-A-N.
That would be so funny. That would
stand,
be
stand, stand.
Put your paws up
for, your paws up
for
Charlie
Puth.
There's no one in the audience.
Title of that is paws up for Charlie Puth.
Put your paws up for Charlie Puth. Bowen does have his paws. I'll tell you what, he's got his finger in his butthole jacking off for Charlie Puth.
It was for like a week. And now I'm
Bowen?
Just
you know
like,
what? I was doing that too.
You both had your fingers in your assholes jerking off for Charlie Puth.
We coordinated
Puth.
It.
But now he's a little too like queer baity in a way. I don't know. Like something about. I've taken a turn off of Charlie Puth Road.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing.
Puth Road was actually right next to Abbey Road.
Yeah.
I prefer him to that other, the Calvin Klein one with the cabello.
You mean? You sound like a fucking father, first of all.
What's
straight
his name?
Straight fucking father. That's what you sound like, first of all.
Straight fucking father.
And his name is Shawn Mendes.
Yeah,
interesting,
Shawn Mendes.
Interesting you forget the POC.
Wait, is
well
is,
iconic BIPOC?
No,
people who say phonate the letters BIPOC.
Well, BIPOC,
I'm like, ugh.
I think it was Io Adebri on our podcast, in fact, who said BIPOC is the All Lives Matter of acronyms.
Yes, absolutely, 100%.
Is it time for I Think So, Honey, or what?
I think it's time. I have one. Do you have one, Matt?
Mm-hmm. But it feels like you want to storm the floor and go first.
No, no, no. No, no, no. But I think we... Let's just stick to the
okay,
traditional
I have
order
one. I have
things.
One.
Okay, so this is our segment, I Don't Think So, Honey. We take 1 minute to rail against something in culture. This is Matt Rodgers, I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Acres. What are you? How big are you, stupid bitch? Acre? I have been told that I like, oh, yes, I have this many acres of land. Fuck you. How many miles is it, hon? How many feet? Because now we can talk. Mm-hmm, I understand how much feet is. What is acres? I Don't Think So, Honey, that I know. And also, not for nothing, but why are you talking like you're old-timey, hon? It's the year of our Lord, 2020. We say feet, inches, yards, even.
30 seconds.
Meters, if you want to get Europe. Listen, acres? No. I Don't Think So, Honey, acres. I Don't Think So, Honey, describing how much, quote-unquote, land you have in acres. Literally, what is an acre? Who can tell me? And also, not for nothing, but A-C-R-E.
15 seconds.
You don't got no alibi, you ugly. I can't even say this word. It's not sacred, it's acre. And also, get out of that word.
Oh, Mike, 5 seconds.
Get out of here, acres. More. If I'm saying that, I want to say acorn. Hello.
And so that's true. 1 minute. So fucking true. That's amazing. That's one of your best.
Hell yeah. I don't get
it. Hell yeah.
Does anyone know what an acre is? You smart, quote unquote, smart people.
I once lived on a farm and we said it was on 6 acres and I could visualize that, but I actually don't know how big an acre is.
Was it a huge property? Like what
is it? It was pretty big actually.
Okay. Yes, and I similarly, my grandfather before he passed in Greece bought 3 acres like in the middle of nowhere, and it was his dream, like he wanted to cultivate the land, and that was, and so I know what 3 acres looks like.
Well, how big
doesn't
is it?
Acre sound like, doesn't that sound like a food? It sounds like a snack or like
honey,
a cookie.
Yes,
you know
it really is. It sounds
I'll
like
get the, I'll
eat.
Get the apricot acre.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Oh my god, that sounds delicious. Okay,
and then someone's like, it's actually a cray.
So I just want to say, like, for once and for all, no one could tell me what an acre was. Not here.
Yeah, that's true.
That's
not
true.
But when you don't
say
know.
It, no one can.
I mean, I do
I
think
know.
This is
know.
Our urban bias, and we're being very anti-real America.
Didn't you hear me say I lived on a farm?
Well, Sam, you live in Bushwick.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
The farmland of Brooklyn.
A smelly farm.
Shut up.
Oh my god.
Pigsty fucker.
Whore.
Pigsty fucker, whore. Smelly girl. Smelly girl. Oh, yeah, who's
you're,
a slut.
You're the smelly girl. You put stink all over your balls and not a good stink.
Oh yeah, I've heard of you. You smell like hole, and you fuck. When you fuck is disgusting. Oh,
Matt, I wish we could all do a smell test now that you've been wearing your ball deodorant for 30 minutes.
I just want to make it very clear that my pants are still completely off.
Really? Is that true?
Yes, hon.
Oh, well, you know, I'm actually only wearing boxers.
Oh my God.
I've sort of panned. I'm covering myself up with a blanket because you have to be couth, but you know, I'm nude.
You have to be pooth.
More like wow, poo.
Matt, poo. As you were standing there with no pants during this recording, which of our voices made you most hard?
Yes. What pressed up against the throw?
And
most?
Don't lie, we'll be able to tell.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I feel like Bowen's voice I hear all the time. Mm-hmm. And so it's
numb to it.
I'm sort of just like used to it sexually. You know what I mean?
Of course.
And, you know, the both of you have very sexual tones to your voice.
Oh, wow.
But
you guys both sound hot.
I'm going to go ahead and give it to Sam because we haven't explored that yet in our relationship.
Oh, that's so nice. We haven't tickled yet.
Sam, you are making me the hardest. You get a leg up advantage. Sam is not interested.
You're not his type.
No, yeah, definitely. Thank you for your support. However, I cannot reciprocate at this time.
Okay, that's fine. I'm okay with it. This is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey, if you can believe it or not. And I can confirm that let me get my thing up. Okay, his time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, Lady Gaga abandoning the concept of kindness punks after the release of Stupid Love. Oh. There was no callback to it at any point in the Chromatica release cycle, and we still have not heard one damn thing about what kindness punks are and do or think. And I want to know more about kindness punks because I wanted to be one. When I first heard the term kindness punk, I said, I want to be that, but now I don't know what that thing is. I don't know what that is. And Lady Gaga, you have some defining to do. Instead
seconds.
Of making all these videos about being hit by a car or something, 911. Your biggest enemy is you because you're not. No, your biggest enemy is me. Papa 911, please patch the line. I think you need to explain what a kindness punk is because the people need to know more.
Seconds.
It's what we need as a culture to be kindness punks. But again, who among you, this is like the Acres question, who among you can tell me what a kindness punk
Five
is?
5 seconds.
In October of 2020. I need to know what it is because that's the only way we can heal.
That's 1 minute. You know, while I agree, I had been waiting for Lady Gaga to explore the theme of trauma. You know, I feel like we haven't heard about that from her. So that's
I didn't know
that
was something she had experienced.
Yeah, that was why I was excited to see the 911 video because I just hadn't really heard her delve into that.
And
but
Bowen, I do have to say, one, I appreciate you speaking truth to power. But two, I'm kind of was so thrilled that she didn't just keep saying kindness punks. I thought it was a smart move to be like, actually, I'm going to go ahead and just leave that in the past. Like,
Sam is a stan. Sam is a stan more so than any of the like stan Twitter accounts.
Yeah, that's actually true.
I'm a bigger Gaga stan than Sam is.
Okay, fight. Oh my God, girls, go for it. Bowen, you have 30 seconds right now. I'm putting time on the clock to say why you are a bigger stan.
I think Bowen literally wants to, needs to work.
I
don't care, George. Stopping the clock. George, I don't need your opinion. I really don't. And you look disgusting, honey. And you look ugly.
Poor ugly.
You looked whore. Like an ugly whore when you said that. And you've looked pretty hot before earlier, but now you look ugly. So stop.
Oh my God.
Anyway, one acre is 43,560
square feet.
Okay. Great. That feels like that feels insane.
We're not doing this. We need to move
Bowen,
on to I Don't
Attack
Think
Sam.
So
go.
I'm sorry. I was the premise to attack Sam or to say how
Why
I'm
you're
the
a bigger
biggest
stan.
Little monster?
Why? Talk about how you are a bigger stan than Lady Gaga in relation to Sam. Go.
I was checking in on Gaga Daily, the official Lady Gaga message boards, every single day during the art pop era when people were not on board. I was with her when she was at her lowest, at her worst, and I was still standing and still engaging in the conversation, sweetie. So mm-hmm. I've been there for Gaga when she was at her lowest. I will be there for her when she is at her best. I watched the entire South by Southwest keynote
Attack
speech
Sam.
Where she where she was in a garbage bag and had white dreads. Sam is white.
Okay. So now, Sam, you now have to do the same thing towards Bowen and remember that he called you white. So it might be wise to say something about his race. Go.
Bowen, I may not have been on the message boards and I may not be the encyclopedia of Gaga knowledge that you are, but I have heart. And isn't that what loving Gaga is all about? Because I have loved her since the beginning and I don't check the message boards. I'm not a researcher for Gaga Daily. I am a fan and a stan. And a stan is an emotional bond like one would have with the Lord, who I believe in and who is Gaga. And my paws are up and you are white too.
Yes, it's important.
Oh my God.
He is white.
Beautiful. Oh.
All right, well, George, who won?
Listen.
Perez Hilton.
I really,
yeah,
I mean,
2008
I have to give it to my co-host, Sam Taggart, but I also have to say that I'm disappointed that he didn't bring up, since Bowen brought up South by Southwest, Sam should have brought up the vomit artist that in fact accompanied Lady Gaga at South by Southwest and who is very important in Stradiolab lore. And we have discussed her during multiple episodes, including the Bowen one.
Including my episode. We talked about her a lot, that vomit artist.
And we all stand the vomit artist equally.
So Sam won this round, but Bowen can always know that I had a crush on him for multiple weeks.
Well, that's a good opinion. That's why I asked for your opinion. Mm. And now I say Bowen won. So
interesting.
So thank you for your opinion when you said that. All right. So now it's going to be time, actually, for Bowen. Who should go first?
George should go first.
George.
Okay, I have a very... I have an improv-y one. Are you ready?
Yes.
I'm very excited about that.
Okay. Wow.
Famed stand-up George Severus does an improv-y. I don't think so.
Remember who's in the chat? Famous improvisers Bowen Yang and Sam Taggart. Just saying. They were both
famous
on their teams.
They
were both on their teams.
I just need a challenge.
NYU and UVA heard of it.
I've knocked out of the park every I don't think so honey I've ever done. And
yes,
I need a
you
challenge.
Have. You have.
Okay. He really has. And
turn
now
your phone
for
on.
another grand slam.
Yes.
Here is George Severus. I don't think so, honey. His time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. Instagram.
Oh!
I think we have all seen enough.
Get her, Jade.
To illustrate this, I'm going to improvise by going on Instagram on my phone right now and doing live commentary on each post that I see. Let's see which
God.
White
Jade,
people are sharing
her.
Factually inaccurate graphics about voting. Okay. Let's see. A gay person sharing a meme about Kim Cattrall. Stupid.
That's our culture.
Someone at the MoMA wearing a mask. It's Natalie Walker, and she actually looks gorgeous.
30 seconds.
Someone made a cartoon, but it's bad. A video on someone's Finsta of them cooking. Why would you make an entirely new Instagram account to do that?
Jade, get her.
Okay, an advertisement for furniture I can't afford. Design within reach.
Seconds.
Where?
Oh
my God.
Get her, Jade.
Okay, someone I don't like but got a writing job recently.
Congrats.
A character video from Lorelai. I bet it's really funny, but I'm not going to listen to it now. And how much time do I have? And I just want to say, I don't think so, honey. Scientists, where's the vaccine?
Oh my God.
Smart.
Top of 911. You
Smart.
Got her, Jade. You really did. Insta found dead.
Scientists found dead.
Not found working hard enough, that's for sure.
Well, right. I've said what I have to say.
You really
that was
did.
Beautiful.
You shut that and down.
Yeah, I just got a text that Instagram closed. Instagram closed.
That, you know, you're really onto something there, George, because who, right, by a show of hands, who feels good on Instagram?
Not me.
Okay, no one raised their hands.
Let's move on to Sam. I have to go.
Oh, my God.
That's your opinion. That's your opinion. Okay, so Sam Taggart, this is your millionth. I don't think so, honey. I feel, and you sometimes do pull out real thinkers.
You know, they're hit or miss. Honestly, I'd say they're hit or miss. They're big swings,
we'll
and sometimes you miss.
Welcome to the club.
And okay. His time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. My big fat ass with its little hole. It is a trap for potential suitors. They see that big, round, acre-wide ass, and they say, I'm going to put my little penis in that. And and then when they try, oh, baby, I say, ouch, no, thank you. I actually can't. I'm actually really bad at that. Can we actually stop? I'm sorry. I say, can you make it soft for me? They say, no, this is how sex works. It's a hard dick in a hole. Mm. And I just want to say, this is something sort of mirage for men. It's cruel what I do to them. I present them mirage. With this luscious rump. They want to gobble it up, and yet they can't because the hole is too small. It's like those butterflies that present as predators with the big eyes, but mine presents as something to fuck. And then you try and you actually learn that you can't, and it sort of a trick and trap, and I am sorry and I forgive you for trying.
And that's 1 minute. Wow.
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 I really relate.
You really have a small hole too?
Oh, yes. Medically, Bowen, for sure.
So Sam, you have a small hole. Bowen, you have a small hole?
It's small. It's not medically. I don't know if I've gotten medically told that it's a small hole, but it feels I identify as having a small hole.
Okay, and George,
I would say mine's average.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Wow. All right.
All right.
Well, this has been, I would say, electric.
Mm.
This was one of the most electric episodes.
It was like serious for a little, right? Like kind of scary.
I liked the sequencing of this episode where it started out, you know, fun. I brought a weird question in where I was like, I'm the Sam and George is the Matt, and then we argued about that. Mm-hmm. And then it got serious, but then it got really fun and giggly and kooky at the end.
That's true. Remember it being serious.
It was serious.
It was really serious.
It was very serious.
Gaslighters.
Gaslighter.
Big timer. Doing anything to get your ass higher.
And we were making fun of the girl with blue hair, and Matt's over here. Unbelievable.
Gaslighter. Big timer.
Oh my God. Very good.
Doing anything to get your. I don't know that next word.
Whore. This has been a wonderful episode of Las Culturistas. Please, reader, listen to Stradiolab, one of the best podcasts. It makes us laugh, so they are really doing the work, the good work of booking guests outside of the Las Culturistas universe. And for that, we thank them. And it really sort of expands my horizons as a listener.
Yeah, it took them way too long to book us.
That's not true.
No, it did.
Okay.
It's true for Matt.
It's true for Matt. Yeah. Okay, we close every episode with a song.
Gaslighter, big timer, doing anything.
Do we sing along? Or?
Yeah, sing.
I'm bad at that one.
Do Papa 911. Do Papa 911, no, Sam. Go,
no,
Sam.
Here we go. No. I have a good one.
Go.
I was 23.
He was 45. I was high enough. He was so small. A Texas girl.
To listen to more of that, listen to the best Lady Gaga album, Joanne.